97.1 FM Talk.
On demand audio.
I always like to let this one run a little.
Love it.
Sue and I like this one from The Who, Don't Let Go of the Coat. You can always check out the bumper music on the X formerly Twitter, at Mark Reardon KFTK. I post the list each and every evening when I'm working. We did not have a list for Friday because Ryan Recker was here. I got a good one for 5:45. Every once in a while, I dig a little deeper into the catalog.
I love it.
And this is a little deeper dive into Toto, believe it or not. So it's not Hold the Line.
You know I love Toto.
It's not Africa. It's
I'm
not.
Ready.
It's a
I'm
different
ready.
Song. I challenge you to come up with that song between now and a half an hour from now. We'll see if you can do it. This is, by the way, I have great audio today. Mondays are kind of tough just because I never know if I can get to everything, and sometimes it's a little harder. But over the weekend, Jennings has blown up into this thing, Sue.
He
has. And I've known Scott for, 7 or 8 years now, even though our mutual friend Joe Arnold and I go back 30 years. And ironically, when I used to listen to Joe on the radio when he was on WHAS in Louisville, Scott was his news guy. Like, in the middle of the night, he was his news guy. And then Joe's like, yeah, remember that guy that used to do news with me? He's a political consultant. He runs campaigns, and he's on CNN. And this was kind of like the infancy days of him getting some appearances on CNN. So over the weekend, he sends me this this article. You know, our friend, some of this gets cross-pollinated, if you will. Our friend David Strom from HotAir.com, right? He's a regular guest, David is, and he does a part for HotAir.com, which is called Things I Like. Okay, so he finds something that he likes, and it might be in pop culture, might be a movie, might be something like that. So this weekend, and Jennings sent this to me, of course, Things I Like, Scott Jennings on CNN. And he kind of goes on and on and on, and then he, includes the clips. There's a guy out there, I don't even know who this guy is, at Grage Dustin, and he tweets out a clip from Jennings that says, on this episode of At Scott Jennings, Kentucky Saves the World, and this was the line. I just think this is brilliant, by the way.
A lot of men think Democrats care more about dudes who want to become women than dudes who just want to be dudes.
Well,
no hunting, cosplay, or cringy videos is going to change it. The bet is made.
Oh, that was a great line. And then Abby Phillips, they all go nuts. They can't handle him. He will be here, Fred, on Wednesday, right? Jennings is going to join us on Wednesday. On the presidential race, just to throw this in here as well, because we're going to talk with Andy Puzder about the economy and the race as well. But there's a lot of people that think that the polling is looking very good for Trump right now. It really is. And Harris seems to be floundering a bit. But Larry Sabato talked about maybe Trump even underperforming in some of these polls.
The better pollsters, the ones who are willing to spend money to do their job better and not be embarrassed, take into account people who were hiding from the pollsters, who favored Donald Trump disproportionately in 2016 and 2020. And that's a good thing. Here's the bad news, because I've talked to many of the pollsters about this. They have no idea if it's going to work this time either.
Yeah, that's what we don't know. But I do think that some of the Trump support is being undercounted, but some of this stuff gets so goofy, you just don't know. What I do know is that there's panic on the part of the Democrats. You can kind of see it. You can see the legacy media members fire off in angry ways against Vance yesterday, Martha Raddatz and Kristen Welker, right? You can see it in where Kamala is doing the campaign appearances. Look, they're worried about Michigan and Wisconsin and these Senate races right now, which is very interesting. Andy Puzder is back with us, former CEO of CKE Restaurants, the chair of the Second Vote Value Investments Group, and the board member of the Jobs Creator Network, and of course, he's got strong ties to Wash U here and St. Louis. How are you, Andy? Welcome back. How are you on this Monday afternoon?
I'm doing great, Mark. Thanks for having me on.
Well, let's talk about the economy and where we are with the economy. Do you think, let me just start with a broad question here, because we know what Jay Powell did in the Fed. Are we heading toward a recession, in your opinion, as an economist, or not?
Well, if you look at this from the perspective of just regular Americans, people that are out there going to the gas station, going to the grocery store, trying to pay their bills, trying to buy houses. I think we're not only are we going to be in a recession, but we have been in a recession for quite a while. You know, normal people don't pay attention to every jobs number that comes out. They don't pay attention necessarily to the GDP numbers that come out quarterly. They go to the grocery store, they go to the gas station, they look at their paychecks and they look at the cost of things, and they make a determination as to whether or not they're better off or worse off than they were previously. And for the past 4 years, it's been straight downhill for the American people. And I think they are experiencing a recession, whether or not we technically have a recession.
You know, it seems that way because, you know, I think that, and you hear this from President Trump and J.D. Vance in particular, that I think people still are struggling. The one thing that always pops for me, Andy, and I don't know how this manifests itself, but I consider myself maybe a part-time economist. I'm not as good as you, but I look at different things. And the one number that has really been dramatically different than from 4 years ago, when we were in the pandemic, you know, the amount of household debt was at, I think it was an all-time low. Now we're in the opposite. So people are still acting maybe like we're not in a recession. They're spending like we're not in a recession. And that money's going on the credit cards. And that's going to come back to haunt people, I think, and haunt this U.S. economy, isn't it?
Yeah, the savings rate is extremely low. We've spent through the pandemic savings. People have run up a credit card debt to highs we've never seen before. It's over $1 trillion in credit card debt. And that's at these very high interest rates that you're now paying on credit cards. People have even started cashing in their 401k plans. People have been drawing on the 401k plans, even with the penalties that they incur when they do so. So just to meet everyday expenses, just to live the life they've become used to living, people are having to go into extreme debt and use the resources that they've compiled over their lifetimes. So this is a very bad time for Americans, and I think you see it in the polling on the economy. You see it in the reaction that both Kamala Harris and Joe Biden get when they get in front of anything other than a friendly crowd. And in fact, I don't know if you saw it, there was a video circulating of President Obama addressing a crowd in Michigan yesterday, and very loud protest using a profanity just with respect to the name Joe Biden. People are just fed up. They're just tired. And they're ready for something new. Now, Harris has been trying to convince people that she's something new, which is It's kind of strange. She's campaigning for her. She has Joe Biden, Barack Obama, and Bill Clinton. I mean, that's really not. I mean, you talk about something that's not new. I mean, these guys, two of them are clearly not new, and Obama certainly had his time in office.
Did you see Clinton? Did you actually see it? He looks awful.
Yeah, I did.
He sounds awful. I didn't even know. I was talking about this earlier. When I first saw the clip with Clinton on Twitter this morning, I didn't have the audio up, and I'm like, who is that guy? And I couldn't believe how old he looks. So, yeah, I don't know what they think. They got Hillary out there trying to help her. Is that a good idea? I mean, I welcome it.
Well, it's a good idea for Trump.
Right.
It's not a good idea for Harris. They're as you said just a moment ago, they're very scared right now. They've spent a tremendous amount of money. They've spent two or three times as much as Trump has spent. And even if you watch Fox News, you're seeing these Harris ads one after the other. And so they've spent a tremendous amount of money, and the only way the needle has moved is against her. The needle has moved down. It hasn't moved up in her favor. So they're scared. They're nervous, and they should be, because this is the time when you want to surge. This is the time when you want to start. You want to get the momentum right now, because we're really just weeks away from the election, and of course, people are voting already, so you're already maybe benefiting from the surge. But the final election day is, I think, November 4th or 5th, and we're very close to that.
It's hard for me to believe that if this is a change election, and, you know, Harris and Walz have tried to make it maybe a change election even in their own way, even though there wouldn't be a change because she said very definitively that she has no issues with what Joe Biden has done and maybe wouldn't act any differently. But I guess I call it down to the fact that there's a lot of people out there that have suffered that don't have cash because they've run out of it. And by the way, I think that some of this, and I don't know where this lands us, but Andy, most people, if they're in a cash crunch, what do? They refinance their home, right? If they have equity, and then they get the cash that way. Well, that's why they're going to the credit cards, because everyone's got 3.2 or 3.5 in their loans, and they don't want to refi higher, so they're getting into trouble with that, which I think is going to really end up being a bad thing for the economy. But it's just hard for me to believe that if you're asking the question, are you better off 4 years ago than you were, that 90% of the people out there are going to say, yeah, you know what, I was better off under Trump.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely the case. I mean, look, you had the lowest unemployment rate in history for every race and both sexes. You had family income hit historic highs. You had poverty hit historic lows. And you had income inequality decline, all while wages, real wages, that's inflation-adjusted wages, increase. And it all happened with extremely low inflation. Now, those are very macroeconomic things, but they impacted everybody's life. And how you could say you were better off today than you were 4 years ago, unless you're very rich. And I think the rich have done just fine under Joe Biden. The stock market's done well, and real estate assets have increased in value. So if you're wealthy and you have assets, you've probably done pretty well. For the middle class, the working class, it's been a disaster, and it's not going to change. Harris says, as you pointed out, Harris said, I don't know one thing I would have done differently when it comes to Afghanistan, when it comes to the border, when it comes to the economy. She couldn't think of one thing she would do differently. So now we know. We know who she is, and we know where she's coming from.
So where are you? You know, one of the things I don't think we've ever talked about, and I do have some concerns here when I hear Trump and Vance talking about the tariffs, but where is Andy Puzner on the issue of the tariffs and what Trump did the last time and what might happen here? Because obviously Harris and the Democrats are saying, look, that's a tax increase on the American people because that's going to increase the cost of goods. We all love our cheap stuff from Walmart, right? So your thoughts on that?
It's just baloney. Look, Trump put tariffs in, very strong tariffs against China. It generated significant income, tariff income, and Joe Biden could have canceled them at any time. He could have gotten rid of those tariffs. The Biden-Harris administration could have eliminated the Trump tariffs from his first term. They didn't eliminate them. Actually, they just increased them. They put a very stiff tariff on electric vehicles being imported from China. That's because in certain circumstances, tariffs are a good idea. If a country is subsidizing an industry with the intent of destroying an industry in America, it makes perfect sense for the government to stand up and say, you need to stop. We're not going to let you destroy our businesses and take our jobs. So there are circumstances where tariffs make sense. National defense is another area where tariffs make sense. President Trump, when he spoke in front of the New York Economic Club a few weeks ago, said, look, we get parts from our F-16s that come from countries that are our enemies. That can't continue. We have to be able to manufacture these products in the United States. So we have to be able to meet the needs of our defense system so that we can defend our country. So there are very many circumstances where tariffs make sense. And the last point is, one thing you should always know about President Trump, whenever he talks, he's negotiating. And he's already set himself up so that when he comes in, if he's positioning himself so when he negotiates with other countries with respect to tariffs they have on American goods, he will be in a better position than any president who's ever served, including himself his last term. He set himself up to negotiate great deals for us. I'd hate to see it go to waste, and I hate to see this criticism from the left when the tariffs he put in place, they didn't even rescind.
Yeah, well, that's a good point as well. I guess my main concern moving forward is what, because this isn't even being discussed, the tax breaks, because they automatically sunset, right, into next year. So Congress is going to have to do something. I think the legacy media is letting Harris and Walz completely off the hook, as we kind of knew that they would, because she's been out there saying that they're going to pull back all those. That means a tax increase for everybody in this country.
Yeah, just if the Trump tax cuts expired, working and middle class Americans will see their taxes go up, and wealthy Americans will see the tax rate they have to pay on their income go up. They won't see the taxes they pay go up. They're actually paying much higher taxes now. They're paying about 45% of all income tax collected. That's the top 1%, pays about 45%. During the Obama administration, before the Trump tax cuts, they paid about 38%. Of all income taxes. So when you lower tax rates on wealthy people, they realize more income and they pay more in taxes. When you raise the rates on wealthy people, they defer income and don't pay as much in taxes. Middle class and working class individuals under the Trump tax cuts all got tax cuts, and they will see Harris can't keep just part of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act in effect and let the part that applies to the top 10% expire. The Tax Cuts and Jobs Act is a single bill. If it expires as it's set to in 2025, everybody will see their taxes go up.
Don't you think she's getting completely left off the hook on this particular issue? She unveils this in August. She's talking about this, you know, this plan, tax relief for more than 100 million middle class and lower income Americans. How about just keeping the Trump tax cuts in place? That would provide a lot of relief, but nobody follows up. Has that been asked one time in a debate or with, you know, any of these interviews so far, the few that she's done? Nobody has pressed them on that.
It's hard to tell what happened in the CBS, the 60 Minutes interview, because they took answers from one question and applied it to a different question, and they edited things out. But I will say that the journalist who did that interview did try and press her on these taxes a little bit.
Yeah.
He's the only one, and she said, well, she was You know, how are you going to raise these taxes if the Republicans, are going to end up very likely in control of the Senate? And she had no answer.
Yeah, right.
But she's going to do an interview with Brett Baer tomorrow. Maybe Brett will ask her. I hope he will ask her.
Well, you know, we talked about that earlier, Danny. You're right. She's going to probably, I'm shocked that she's doing that interview because I think she's going to be pressed in a way that she really has. And I'll give Whitaker a little credit because he seemingly did, you know, follow up. That's something that's been, the legacy media has been unwilling to do, ask a follow-up question. We've seen that in the debates. But I do think that this could be interesting with Brett. And doesn't that kind of tell you that they're a little, it reeks of a little desperation there, I think.
Yeah, I'm not sure why they've agreed. Other than they're desperate, I don't know why they would agree to do an interview with Brett Baer on Fox News right now. I think that she hopes she's going to be able to show that she's competent, she can handle this interview, and I'm sure that no matter what happens to her, the press will praise her performance. And I don't know that Brett Baer is one who's going to push her particularly hard, but I hope he will be more of a journalist than anybody else who's interviewed him so far.
I think he will.
And will ask her tougher questions and hope that and hopefully we'll press her to answer those tough questions.
I think Brett is one of the best out there, and he asks good questions. So I have
very good.
Yeah, I have high hopes for this. Andy, great to have you on. We'll see what happens in 3 weeks.
Thanks, Mark. Talk to you soon.
I am kind of baffled, though, by the whole thing with this announcement that she's going to sit down with Brett Baer. I don't get it. By the way, on this Indigenous Peoples Day, let's hear from Kamala from the past.
People did not want to deal and accept and most importantly admit that we are the scene of a crime when it comes to what we did with slavery and Jim Crow and institutionalized racism in this country.
So she gets to Columbus Day, Indigenous Peoples Day. This is an older clip, by the way.
And we have to be honest about that. We have to be honest. We have to be honest.
So we have to be honest.
I'm not sure if
we
do.
We should. We should be honest.
Okay.
Because if we're not honest, we are, one, not going to deal with the vestiges of all of that harm. And we're not going to correct course. And we're not going to be true to our values and our morals. And so, similarly, when it comes to Indigenous Americans, the Indigenous people.
Here we go.
There is a lot of work that we still have to do. And I appreciate and applaud your point and your effort and count me in on support.
Yes, count her in on support. I love this. Libs of TikTok tweeted this out earlier. Columbus is evil. He stole land. Therefore, we no longer celebrate him. Instead, we celebrate Stone Age tribes that ate people, sacrificed children, and also stole land. That was great. Really was. Good line from them. We're coming back.
Get more at 971talk.com.